imagine you started working a new job a couple of months ago. You're passionate about this job and have been working 60 hours per week. All of your coworkers are complimentary of your work and you feel you're doing a great job. The only problem is that you've not yet been paid. How would you feel? Would you be outraged? Would you demand to receive your wages? It's human nature to desire what we feel we have coming to us and to expect it now. I can't speak for everyone here, but I'm glad God does not give us what we have earned. Despite our hardest efforts, Isaiah teaches us that our righteousness is like filthy rags. Romans 3:23 teaches us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us exactly what wages our sins have earned. The wages of sin is death. Therefore, what all of us have earned is death. Jim taught us about God's justice a few weeks ago, and Caleb spoke about God's wrath just last week. However, no one in this room has received what I just explained that we deserve. God has not poured out his wrath on any of us, at least not yet. Why not? Because in addition to being a God of justice and wrath, he is a merciful God. I'm going to make a distinction here between God's mercy and his grace. His mercy is withholding from us that which we deserve. His grace is supplying to us that which we do not deserve. Lord willing, I'll cover how the Lord is gracious next week. God's mercy is also described as patience, compassion, tenderheartedness, steadfast love, and loving kindness, depending upon different translations and passages in Scripture. Let's take a look at several passages that affirm and explain this attribute of God. God is merciful. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Psalm 116:5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. Psalm 145:8 through 9 tell us of how God is merciful over all of creation. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. 2 Corinthians 1:3 calls him the Father of mercies. Ephesians 2:4 says he is rich in mercy. James 5:11 says the Lord is compassionate and merciful. I have previously spoken up here of God's immutability, but there are some verses that show specifically that his mercies never end. Psalm 103:17 through 18 says, "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments." And of course, the well-known Lamentations 3:22 through 23, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." While God shows mercy to all of his creation, he also shows mercy as he chooses, on whom he chooses, when he chooses. Exodus 33:19, which is later quoted by Paul in Romans, says, "And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Titus 3:5 tells us of how God shows mercy to those he saves. "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Luke 13:1 through 5 is a sobering reminder that what we would term as tragedies do not just occur to those who are the most wicked, and should serve as reminders of the frailty of life and the fact that we as fallen creatures cannot fully know the mind of God. There were some present at that time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Romans 9:14 through 23, "What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Will what is molded say to its molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory? In the fifth chapter of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira were condemned to death immediately for trying to deceive others about the profit from the sale of their home. Yet others in Scripture repeatedly and blatantly sinned without experiencing God's wrath so immediately. God demonstrates mercy according to his will. God's mercy does not contradict God's wrath, as God's wrath will be satisfied. All sins committed will be paid for. The sins of believers have been paid for by Christ. The sins of unbelievers will be paid for by themselves for eternity. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Hebrews 2:17 reads, therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. In light of this truth, what should our response be? 1. How can we do anything but praise him when we hear the words of Psalm 103:10-14? He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Psalm 59:16-17. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. According to Luke 6:35-36, we are to demonstrate mercy to others. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Jude 21:22 reads, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Matthew 5:7 reads, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. 3. We are to boldly approach the Lord in prayer, seeking mercy according to Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. 4. As Romans 9:14-23 reminded us earlier, the Lord is the potter and we are the clay. We must show humility toward him, including with regard to his mercy. R.C. Sproul in his book, The Holiness of God, shared the following thoughts on God's mercy and our need to be humbled by it, and I will close with them. We have come to expect God to be merciful. From there, the next step is easy. We demand it. When it is not forthcoming, our first response is anger against God, coupled with the protest, it isn't fair. We soon forget that with our first sin, we have forfeited all rights to the gift of life. That I am drawing breath this morning is an act of divine mercy. I owe him everything. If he allows a tower to fall on my head this afternoon, I cannot claim injustice.